Thank you, Brother Alvin.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good to see all those smiling faces out there. You know, talking about this hurricane, I don't know how many that are in here have actually been involved in a hurricane. Are there any? Can you hold your hand up? Been there? There's one. I know you probably flew through some. You probably flew through some during the Second World War. I was had the misfortune, or good fortune, however you want to look at it, of being involved in two of them. One of them when our ship was in harbor, and one of them when we were at sea. And let me tell you what. When you think about these people, excuse me, that's facing a storm. It's going to come raging in there. They really need your prayers because they're mean and ugly. When we was in harbor, I seen it actually pick up a sawmill and pick it up off the ground and blew it away like a puff of smoke. And when I was at sea, there was no way you could get seasick. You didn't have time. You were fighting to hang on to something. And hoping that ship didn't turn upside down because it felt like it would do that. But when you kneel down and say your prayers for those folks tonight, take it seriously. It's a very serious thing. I'd like to start here tonight with something that I've had in my mind for a while. It was some thoughts that was given to me. Excuse me. That I thought I would share with you tonight and hope you don't run me off with a stick. But I take a real good look around us today at the society we're involved in. Generally, what I see is a result of an uninformed and an uncaring public. People that don't care to listen to or learn anything about what God has to offer. And that hurts me. It troubles me. They seem to be unwilling to follow God's biddings and accept any of His directions. And maybe it's because they don't want to be bothered. Maybe they're having too good a time at doing what they're doing here on earth now. Whatever is being drilled into so many minds appears to be there to attract people. And tempt them to do things which are not according to the teachings of the Scriptures. Satan provides things that are physically attractive to the population because they like it. They like the thrill of being there. They like the thrill of being involved, doing these things that are wrong. He does it in a way that strives to lead them away from God, to get them away from any of this influence of God, to get them over on His side, away from the good teachings that they have. This may blind the eyes of some, so they'll not be able to see the good and the precious things that God has to offer to everyone so many times on the earth already. God's Word tells us what to do, plus what our reward will be for doing it, even up to and including what we can expect. Yes, even up to and including eternal life. And I would hope that people wouldn't turn ahead away from that. Additionally, in the Scriptures, we're told to keep His commandments. He's promised us that that He would hear and answer our prayers when we do. Now, brothers and sisters, what more could we ask? If we have God there to hear us, and we'll take the time to listen to the prayers we have to offer from our heart, what could benefit us more? You may recall a scripture where we're told in the Book of Mormon about the many that will enter at the broad way or into the broad way and be that leads to destruction. I firmly believe that. There will be a good many that will follow that. And I see it And I see it getting worse. I see more and more people that have a tendency to want to be led away, to get involved in things that are things that people shouldn't be getting involved in. But I firmly believe it. But see, we don't have to be the ones to do this. We have God and the Son and His Son on our side, teaching us what's right and what the right thing is to do. This may not be the most pleasant way to begin a sermon, but it's a reality we face every day of our lives. It's there. You can't hide it. You can't get away from it. So we have to learn to deal with it. Our Heavenly Father wants us to be strong and to learn His teachings and to believe in Him and what He teaches. In this matter, we can realize how much our soul will profit from it. The promise He gives us are so great and so rewarding that perhaps they get overlooked by our busy everyday schedules and lifestyles that we are involved in. So you don't want to get too involved. If you want to get involved in things that the Lord wants you to do. I'd like to open the Book of Mormon to Mosiah and begin with a little bit of King Benjamin's proclamation here. 38th, it's on page 211, chapter 1, and it's the 38th verse I want to begin with. It's too far away for me to read it, so I'll have to pick it up here. Don't laugh, this is serious. And these are the words which he spake and caused to be written, saying, My brethren, all ye that have assembled yourselves together, you that can hear my words which I shall speak unto you today, for I have not commanded you to come up hither to trifle with the words which I shall speak, but that you should hearken unto me, and open your ears that ye may hear, and your hearts that ye may understand, excuse me, and your minds that the mysteries of God may be unfolded to your view. I have not commanded you to come up hither that ye should fear me, or that you should think that I, of myself, am more than a mortal man. So he's letting him know that he understands that he's a human being just like everybody else that he's called there. But he has an important task to do and a message to deliver that comes from God. But I am like as yourself, subject to all manner of infirmities in body and mind. Yet as I have been chosen by this people, and was consecrated by my Father, and was suffered by the hand of the Lord, that I should be a ruler and a king over this people, I have been kept and preserved by His matchless power to serve thee with all the might, mind, and strength which the Lord hath granted unto me. I say unto you that as I have been suffered to spend my days in your service, even up to this time, and have not sought gold nor silver nor any manner of riches of you, neither have I suffered that ye should be confined in dungeons, nor that ye should make slaves one of another, or that ye should murder or plunder or steal or commit adultery. For even I have not suffered that ye should commit any manner of wickedness, and I have taught you that ye should keep the commandments of the Lord and all things which he hath commanded you. And even I myself had labored with my own hands, and I have that I might serve you, and that ye should not be laden with taxes, and that there should nothing come upon you which was grievous to be borne. And all these things which I have spoken, and of all these things which I have spoken, ye yourselves are witness this day. Yet, my brethren, I have not done these things that I might boast, neither do I tell you these things that thereby I might accuse you. But I tell you these things that you may know that I can answer in a clear conscience before God this day. Behold, I say unto you that because I said unto you that I have spent my days in your service, I do not desire to boast, for I have only been in the service of God, as we are all in the service of God. And behold, I tell you these things that you may learn wisdom. That's a good thing to share. We all need that to get through life. That you may learn that when you are in the service of your fellow beings, you are only in the service of your God. Behold, ye have called me your king, and if I, whom ye call your king, do labor to serve you, then had ye not ought to labor to serve one another? Another thing that we should do is to help one another. And behold also, if I, whom ye call your king, who has spent his days in your service, and yet has been in the service of God, doth merit any thanks from you, oh, how had ye ought to thank your heavenly king? I say unto you, my brethren, that if you should render all thanks and praise, which your whole soul have power to possess, to that God who has created you and has kept and preserved you and has caused that you should rejoice and be granted that ye should live in peace one with another, I say unto you that if you should serve him who has created you from the beginning and are preserving you from day to day by lending you breath that you may live and move and do according to your own will and even supporting you one moment to another, I say if you should serve him with all your whole soul, yet you would be I say if you should serve him with all your soul, yet ye would be unprofitable servants. And behold, all that he requires of you, now listen closely, is to keep his commandments, and he has promised you that if you would keep his commandments, ye should prosper in the land. That's not too big of a request, is it? If he's willing to do all these other things and has given us all that help. And he never doth vary from that which he hath said. Therefore, if you do keep his commandments, he doth bless you and prosper you. He does that. And it goes on. I want to stop there for a minute and say, I'll tell you that this is where King Benjamin is. Well, I already said that. But did you notice in the 55th verse? Let me read that part again. Let me get to it here. And behold, all that he requires of you is to keep his commandments, and he has promised you that if you keep his commandments, you should prosper in the land. And again, in the 56th verse, he says, if you keep his commandments, you will prosper. So there shouldn't be any doubt in your mind. That's twice he said it within two sentences, or within two paragraphs there, two sentences, actually. Doesn't this sound like some good advice? It's also a motivational device, not only to the people in the Book of Mormon, but it's even a good motivational device for us today, I think. Let's go over here to Romans for a minute. First chapter. This is where Paul's speaking, and the gospel of Christ teaches us by the power of God. Notice what Paul is speaking in verse 6. Well, I better read first verse 16. It's going to be 16 through 32, through 23, excuse me. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness, of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifested in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts were darkened. professing themselves to be wise, and they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like a corruptible man, and bird, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Yeah, well, let's get back to what I have written here. The gospel of Christ teaches us about the power of God. Notice what Paul is speaking of in verse 16. It has not been directed only to a few, not just to one or two, or not to one group of people, but to everybody. Everybody. I want to read you a footnote I wrote out of my teacher's Bible that I have at home. It's an explanation of verse 18, and you can go back and review verse 18 if you would like. What it says in my Bible was, in order to express His nature, God must punish sin, since sin personally offends God. No one should be surprised that sin makes God angry. To deny His anger is to reject the necessity of Christ's reconciliation work on the cross. God's wrath is revealed both in nature and in Scripture. The rage that today is vented against sin will someday be completely unleashed in hell after those who refuse to accept the satisfaction or the propitiation that Christ made on the cross for His sin. By Christ suffices for the whole world, there is no reason anyone should spend eternity in hell unless he voluntarily rejects God's truth. It says that everybody can be saved, is what it says. Unless you don't want to be saved. I don't know anybody that would fit that category. I think we all want to be saved. I think we all want to look forward to our life, the life or the eternal life that we have after we leave this earth. Why would we want to turn our backs on Him? Why would we not want to serve God and to keep His commandments and to do the things that He's told us to do? Let's go over to the 8th chapter of Romans. You'll have to excuse me. I feel like I got two thumbs on one hand and neither one of them works very well. I want to start with the 28th verse and read to the end of the chapter. I have to pick this thing up. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called, and whom He called, them He also justified, and whom He justified, them He also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Who do we get all of our strength from? Who do we get all of our wisdom from? Who do we get all of our freedom from? From God. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercessions for us. So the Son of God is making intercessions for us. He probably just doesn't do that once in a while whenever He picks a person to do it for. He's probably up there a lot. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famines, or nakedness, or perils, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loves us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor heights, nor depths, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. I feel the same way. I don't think there's anything that could separate me from it. Not unless they killed me first. Then they'd have a fight. God is our power. God is our keeper. He's our strength. He's the arm we lean on when we really have a problem. When we have a hurricane coming in here and we need some help. That's who you go to for help. If you go to Him with real intent, and if you're keeping His commandments and living the kind of lifestyle that He tells us to live, He won't change His mind and say, well, I don't want to do that now. He's going to say, I hear your prayer. That's how it works. I want to go back to Mosiah. And then I'll sit down as soon as I get through here, I promise. If I can find it here. And I want to go to chapter 2. This won't take too long. And now it came to pass that when King Benjamin had made an end of speaking in words which had been delivered unto him by the angel of the Lord, that he cast his eyes round about on the multitude, and behold, they had fallen to the earth, for the fear of the Lord had come upon them. And they had viewed themselves in their own carnal states, even less than the dust of the earth. And they all cried aloud with one voice, saying, O have mercy, and apply the atoning blood of Christ, that we may receive forgiveness of our sins, and our hearts may be purified. For we believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who created heaven and earth and all things, who shall come down among the children of men. And it came to pass that after they had spoken the words of these words, the Spirit of the Lord came upon them, and they were filled with joy. Having received a remission of their sins, and having peace of conscience, because of the exceeding faith which they had in Jesus Christ, who had come according to the words which King Benjamin had spoken unto them. And King Benjamin again opened his mouth and began to speak unto them, saying, My friends and my brethren, my kindred and my people, I would again call your attention that you may hear and understand the remainder of my words which I shall speak unto you. For behold, if the knowledge of the goodness of God at this time has awakened you to a sense of your nothingness and your worthless and fallen state, if I say unto you, if you have come to a knowledge of the goodness of God and His matchless powers and His wisdom and His patience and His long-suffering towards the children of men, and also the atonement which has been prepared from the foundation of the world, that thereby salvation might come to him that should put his trust in the Lord and should be diligently in keeping the commandments and continue in the faith even until the end of his life, I mean the life of the mortal body, I say that this is a man who receiveth salvation through the atonement which was prepared from the foundation of the world for all mankind, which ever were, ever since the fall of Adam, and who are, and who ever shall be, even to the ends of the world. And this is the means whereby salvation cometh. And there is none other salvation save this which hath been spoken of. Neither are there any conditions whereby man can be saved except the conditions which I have told you. Believe in God. Believe that He is. And that He created all things, both in heaven and in earth. Believe that He has all wisdom and all power, both in heaven and in earth. Believe that man doth not comprehend all things which the Lord can comprehend. Nobody's as smart as the Lord is. And again, believe that ye must repent of your sins and forsake them and humble yourselves before God and ask in sincerity of heart that He would forgive you. And now, if you believe these things, see that you do them. I really believe in God. and do all that he asks us to, if we really believe in God, and do all of the things he's asked us to do, and are firm in our belief, and our love of God, and continue to grow, then we're in pretty good shape. And should be certain, we are ready to go before the Lord, that he will invite us in unto him. What a glorious time that would be, I think. Thank you all for your time, and may God bless you, each one. And don't forget to pray for those dear folks down there in the southern part of the country. See, I told you, just 5 minutes.
Thank you, Warren. A few announcements for the coming weeks. And we will apologize to the Generation Found group because it was omitted from the bulletin this morning. First Monday night is our study class at 7, as usual. Anybody that's got time that they can come and spend with us from 7 to 9, bring your questions and we'll answer them. And we'll do so from the Scriptures. Wednesday is prayer service at 7. Friday is Generation Found. And it's at 7 p.m. It'll be volleyball. It's at Lee McKenahan Park. And that's in Lee's Summit. McKenan? Is that how you say that? McKenan Park and Lee's Summit. I think they've been out there at that park before. This is not the first time they've used that. Saturday, YPCL is having a Labor Day social at the Warfield Home. It's at 6:30 p.m. And as announced this morning, I guess I wasn't aware of that, but it's going to be a pool party. And so bring your suits and come prepared. And then September the 10th, the East Local is having a fundraiser to raise funds for the missions. And it will be a luau, and I think we have a notice out on the bulletin board as to that location. Two business meetings coming up. Week from this coming Tuesday will be September 6th. That's the Sunday School business meeting, and it will be at 7 p.m. on Sunday evening, or on Tuesday evening. And then a week later, on Tuesday, September the 13th, will be the local church business meeting at 7 p.m. This afternoon, I went out to see Nicholas Denham, and he's awfully tired. He's showing his age, but we had a nice visit. He got a lot of cards from you all. I thank you for that. He got some from other locals, out of town, other places, and he was just really pleased. His birthday is actually tomorrow, and that's his 95th birthday. He is not doing well enough, though, that he can come out to come to service. So I thought I'd bring you that, and he said hello. The Church of Christ Women's Retreat will be Friday, September the 30th. That's a month away, but it's just around the corner. It's Saturday, October 1st, 30th and the 1st of October. It's for women ages 18 and over, members and non-members alike, and will be held at Lake Mauer Retreat Center in Excelsior Springs, Missouri. There are registration forms on the table in the foyer, and they are also in your July Zion's Advocate. If you have questions or require further information, contact Carrie Geyer. And remember, again, out of this bulletin, and if you didn't get one on the way out, you have the list of the officers and teachers and so forth for Sunday school and for the local church. You will need that for those business meetings. And then also our schedule for the month of September. We're going to close with hymn number 362. 362.